Hello and welcome to Journalism Revision, IPSO Editor's Code. My name's Sani Rudravajula, I'm a freelance journalist and I'm also studying for my NCTJ Diploma in Journalism. This podcast is aimed for anybody else who's doing that as well, or if you've got a general interest in press regulation, specifically looking at the work of the Independent Press Standards Organisation, IPSO. Today we're looking at Clause 13 on financial journalism, and the first thing we need to do is have a check and see what the code says. There are 3 points to the financial journalism clause, and there is no public interest in breaching these. The first is that even where the law doesn't prohibit it, journalists must not use for their own profit financial information that they receive in advance of general publication, nor should they pass that information on to anyone else. Secondly, they must not write about the financial performance of shares and securities in which they or their family have a significant financial interest without disclosing it to the editor or financial editor. Thirdly, they must not buy or sell, either directly or through nominees or agents, shares or securities about which they have recently written or which they intend to write about in the near future. One aspect of financial journalism that makes it stand out compared to other areas of the trade is the very tangible temptation to make a quick and illegal profit. Those are the words of Paul Murphy speaking in The Guardian in 2005. He says that with financial journalism, it's not like a fashion journalist taking home a frock or a travel writer blagging an airline upgrade. Financial journalists routinely have information that is worth a lot of money. They might be writing about a company takeover happening the next day, and that news is worth millions of pounds. Information is really worth money in the city, and that's why the FSA, the Financial Services Authority, have a rule book that specifically extends to journalists, and breaches are a criminal matter. There are two people in particular who are well known for this, and their story makes up the example that we're going to look at. It's the City Slickers scandal. The late 90s was the peak of the dot-com bubble. All of a sudden, the internet was going to make everybody rich. All these companies were floating on the stock exchange and doing pretty well. Eventually, it burst. But around that time, the idea of investing became a lot more accessible, and even to the point where newspaper readers ended up wanting to get in on the act as well and investing a bit of cash, to the point where the Daily Mirror ended up producing a financial tips column, the City Slickers. The column ran from 1998 to 2000, and it was headed by two journalists, James Hipwell and Anil Boyrul. As part of the column, they had a tip of the day. And funnily enough, whatever they would tip as the tip of the day, its share price would rise. And that was because the Daily Mirror readers themselves were reading this in the paper, going out en masse, buying the shares, and therefore forcing the price of the share up. The journalists cottoned onto this and decided to start buying shares in companies the day before or before they were going to tip them, and then sell those shares on the day. So you could buy them at a low price, tip them to do well, the price would rise, and then sell them again, and you'd be making a tidy profit. Their actions were, of course, illegal, and in December 2005, Boyrul and Hipwell were both convicted of breaching the Financial Services Act 1986. The complaint to the PCC was upheld, and the PCC also highlighted the role of the editor of the newspaper, Piers Morgan, who, according to the report, was made aware of what was going on in 1999 and decided to make a verbal warning to one of the journalists about it, but didn't go any further than that. He admits himself that he should have done a lot more, and given that the breaches were flagrant and multiple, the editor of the newspaper should have acted much stronger than simply a verbal warning. Morgan himself became involved in this, and although he was cleared of any wrongdoing from the Mirror's own investigation and from a legal point of view, what had happened was he'd bought some shares in a company called Vigilin, as mentioned in the PCC report, and after he'd been aware that the newspaper had regularly been tipping Vigilin to do well, he should have sold those shares and made sure he didn't have any, because that breached the code as far as having a significant interest in shares that you're writing about. As editor, that kind of fell under his remit. What he did do was he donated the profits of that shareholding to charity, and the PCC did say they were pleased with him doing that. The IPSO code book also includes a financial journalism best practice note, and in it it does say that a serious breach can result in a £1 million fine. It lists a lot of best practice, including that many publications have a confidential register of holdings, and that is encouraged. The note also takes into consideration the EU market abuse regulation that came into force in 2016 and Article 20, which specifically relates to journalists. There's also an especial mention of Clause 1 on accuracy when it comes to recommendations. Editors should ensure that they present accurately things that are facts versus interpretations or estimates or opinions. Remember that if that doesn't happen, there's a chance of falling foul of Clause 1. Finally, the codebook ends with a bit of a summary and something they call the private eye test. Would it embarrass a journalist to read about their actions in private eye, and at the same time, would it undermine the integrity of the publication? If the answer is yes, then don't do it and don't publish it. That concludes everything that we're looking at when it comes to Clause 13 and financial journalism. But don't worry, we've got another 3 more parts of the code to have a look at. I'll see you soon. Journalism Revision, IPSO Editor's Code, was produced and presented by me, Sani Rudravajula. Remember, if you've got the time and you're on Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star review and a nice comment if you feel I deserve it.